Hello everyone, this is your host, Cobra, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on RacismExplained.org and the Black Talk Radio Network, exposing racism, white supremacy for exactly what it is, so that you and your loved ones can counter this nasty, stinking, wretched, disgusting system. The purpose of this podcast is to eliminate all confusion in regards to racism and what it is, so that those who are classified as black are no longer confused. We are going to be broadcasting Monday through Friday, starting at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I have not been able to be here by 10 o'clock p.m. as of yet, but I'm still getting some things worked out with my schedule. So that's why it's important to follow me on Twitter, so I can give you updates as to when I'm going to be broadcasting. But that's the plan. The plan is that once things get settled, I will be broadcasting 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or more specifically, the show will be available online 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because right now, we're not going to be doing the show live right now. I've been away for a few months working on my upcoming album, Racism is White Supremacy. And I've gotten to a point in that project where I now have more time to do the podcast. So I will be here every evening, Monday through Friday at 10. The show will be 30 minutes in length in the beginning, but will eventually be an hour long once more time frees up on my end. This show is necessary because before a problem can be solved, it has to be identified and understood. And too many black people do not understand racism. Once the album is finished, it will be available for purchase on peopleofthesunpublishing.com. That's peopleofthesunpublishing.com as an app for your smartphone and or tablet. I've decided to publish this album as an app because I think it is more effective to explain racism through the usage of all forms of media, music, video, pictures, and print, so you get the complete picture in regard to racism and what it is. I initially was going to just publish a book, but you know, I realized at a certain point that, hey, you know, we don't read. So putting out what I want to put out, putting out the information that I want to put out through an app, I believe will be much more better for our situation and given our patterns and how we do things. We, you know, as of right now, we just don't really read. So hopefully, you know, what I'm trying to say, the concepts that I'm trying to get across, will be much more accessible to more people through an app as opposed to just a book or an ebook. Please visit the site and like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and YouTube. I am currently updating my Facebook page. But nevertheless, by the time you get this, let's just assume it will have been updated. So just visit the site, racismexplained.org, like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter so that when I am running late, I can just message you and, you know, message you all and let you all know, hey, the show was supposed to be up at 10. I'm not going to be at the house until 12. So there won't be a show until like 1, you know, so that way we can stay in constant contact. Although in the future, that should not be happening too much. I will be publishing content to all of my social media sites, articles, videos, and music, so please follow. I love to hear comments from you guys, and yes, I do respond. Please email me at cobra.org@mail.com or get at me on Twitter. My handle is @cobra_org, @cobra_org. Also, let's start the conversation on Twitter. #racismiswhitesupremacy. All right, I am going to read several passages from books that have played a significant role in my personal understanding of racism, white supremacy. Urugu by Dr. Mirba Anai, Blueprint for Black Power by Dr. Amos Wilson, and the United Independent Compensatory Code System / Concept by Dr. Nellie Fuller Jr. After each passage is read, I will paraphrase and give any additional thoughts I believe will be helpful in understanding racism, white supremacy. If you are a person classified as non-white, especially a black person, I strongly advise you to get pencil and paper and listen very carefully to what will be shared with you in this podcast. Why? There are very few places where you will get accurate information on the system of racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works. inform anyone that you love about this podcast and make them listen, for this should not be an option. For if you do not understand the context within which you exist as a non-white person, as a black person, you will remain completely lost in your existence, and your very existence will always remain in a high state of danger. This is not meant to be an option. This is not meant to be a choice. This is not meant to be some leisure form of activity that you do. You need to be dedicated to listening to this show or a show like this anytime you can, because I guarantee you there is a deficit in your understanding of racism, white supremacy. There is a deficit in my understanding. Dr. Nelly Fuller says, anytime you ask him, how are you doing? How are you doing, sir? He tells you, I'm still learning. That's the attitude you need to have. You need to be learning every single second of every day. You need to still be learning. So again, make sure you listen to this podcast religiously and email me with questions, tweet me with questions, tweet me with comments. Let's make this as interactive as possible. And yes, at some point we will be taking phone calls, because this show is meant to be interactive, but we will, we will cross that bridge when we get there. But so keep that in mind. All right, folks, you are listening to The Barbershop here on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com and RacismExplained.org. I'm going to take a break and we'll be right back. Thanks. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Cobra, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on RacismExplained.org and the BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, exposing racism, white supremacy for exactly what it is, so that you and your loved ones can counter this nasty, disgusting, wretched system. I love to hear comments from you guys, and like I said, I do respond. Make sure you email me at cobra.org@mail.com or get at me on Twitter. My handle is @cobra_org. Also, let's start the conversation on Twitter. Hashtag racism is white supremacy. Before I get started, I just want to say that racism, white supremacy is real. It's not just, something cute I decided to make up. It's not meant to be funny. It's not meant to, take lightly. It's real. It's serious. If you are not convinced of their superior position, please look up the 13th Amendment. I invite you to look up the 13th Amendment and read, put down whatever rap album, hip hop album you're listening to that's pushed out here by some white folks, meant to poison your mind, meant to keep you in chains, meant to keep you stupid, meant to keep you a nigger. Put that down and actually pick up a book and read it. Specifically, pick up the Constitution or go online, Google the Constitution, look up the 13th Amendment. See how slavery was never abolished and how it was morphed. It was morphed into what they call mass incarceration. But again, folks, we know mass incarceration is just a code word for slavery. Slavery still exists. And you have to, you have to come to grips with that. Remember, most black men are in prison for nonviolent crimes and are put there by a criminal justice system controlled by white people, the ones that make all the rules and laws to continue exploiting niggers for labor. Only a people in a superior position can enslave another people, folks. Deal with it. Now, we must understand that all white people are racist. Every single last one of them. No exception to the rule. Why is that? Don't feel bad if you have white friends or if you are in a relationship with a white person. These people, they are here on the planet with us and we have to interact with each other. And more than likely, not even more than likely, I guarantee to say that you're friends with a white person is indicative of the fact that you just don't understand the system of racism, white supremacy. To marry a white person is indicative of the fact that you do not understand the system of racism, white supremacy. Don't be mad at yourself. This is to be expected. However, it's very unfortunate, but this is to be expected. Why? Because you're not supposed to understand the system of racism, white supremacy. Because by understanding the people that teach you, which are white people, most of the women that are teaching in the public educational system are white. And by the way, and the educational system is a white system. It's controlled by white people. They're not in the business of telling the truth about themselves and exposing their culpability. So what? And in teaching and talking about and teaching you about the system of racism, white supremacy, they would inherently expose their culpability. That's not even logical. Why would they do that? Why would a criminal tail on his or herself? It doesn't make sense, folks. So if you made the mistake of marrying a white person, if you have made the mistake of considering yourself friends with a white person, because in the system of racism, white supremacy, you don't have no black and white friends. Okay, you can't be mistreating people to the extent that white people collectively mistreat black people and still consider yourself a friend to an individual black person. That is just that doesn't work. So if you called yourself, a friend of a white person in the past, if you're married to a white person, if you're dating a white person, turn a negative into a positive. Use that relationship so that you can begin to understand racism. But you have to listen. You have to listen and you have to and go against all your instincts to try to internally look for excuses and defend white people. That's not going to help your understanding of the system of racism, white supremacy. Yes, you need to look for racism. We've been taught not to do that. You need to change that. That's not normal. If you're being mistreated, you need to be able to articulate how you're being mistreated so that you can know how you're being mistreated, so that you give yourself an option of being able to counter those forces that are mistreating you. Don't run from this. Use it to your advantage. Like I said, use it so that you can learn about racism. And believe me, if you hang around any white person long enough, they will reveal their racism through their own individual thought, speech, and action. But again, you have to listen closely. But if any person identifies him or herself as a white person, then that person is a racist. Remember, ask yourself, what is a white person? What are they referring to when they identify themselves as white? Their skin pigmentation is not actually white. And this is not what they are referring to. They are referring to their race. They are saying they are a member of the white race. What is race? Race is the organizing of people through hierarchy based on physical features, the most prominent being skin color. Now, who developed this concept and for what purpose? White people developed it. They do all the classifying. This is why there's no reverse racism. Niggas don't classify shit. When you were taken from the, I keep telling you this, when you left Africa, when they stole you from Africa, you weren't calling yourself a race. You were identifying yourself by the tribe you were associated with. No one on the African continent thought within the construct of race, because African people did not create the construct of race. You didn't identify yourself as a member of a black race. There was no such thing. The concept of race is European. They are the only racist. Now, if a person identifies him or herself by race, what do you call that person? What would be the correct adjective? Racist. This person is a racist, which is why all white people are racist. See, you have to take the emotion out of it. You have to see, this is why you can't be, you know, this is why when you marry a white person, when you're dating a white person and you're getting serious, you're calling yourself having white friends, you can't talk like this because you have been compromised. That's why it's so important. Stay away from white people. No friendships. You know, keep everything real cordial. Be polite. There's no need in being nasty. You know, you already have enough of that from white people themselves. You be very professional. Stay cordial. Stay polite. But stay accurate in your assessment of the context within which you're operating in. You have to be honest. I have an introductory book to racism titled Racism is White Supremacy. The book describes racism within the concept of human activity, a concept developed by counter-racist thinker Nellie Fuller. These areas, economics, education, entertainment, labor law, religion, sex, and more, consist of activities all human beings consistently engage in. I also added health. Stand by your work. Nellie Fuller does not have health as an area of activity. I have added health because I think health is deserving of its own designated area. But these are all activities human beings consistently engage in, directly or indirectly. And talking about areas of human activity provides a clear path towards understanding racism and how it works, because it's very clear to see when you articulate behavior within the context of within the context of human activity, it's very easy to see who's controlling all the activity. It's white people. So this is another way to understand racism. I also mentioned earlier the app that is in development. The book was written over a year ago and is an introduction to the system of racism, white supremacy, meant primarily for high school and college students. The app, however, is going to give a complete picture of the system of racism, white supremacy, what it is, how it works. Stay tuned. Now, if you're scared of white people, if you want to drink the bath water of white people, if you want to do the nay-nay with white people, you know, if you want to worship white Jesus, if you want to sing around some bonfire somewhere with some crackers and sing Kumbaya and give lip service to the idea of equality, if you want to be held and cuddled like a little pet by these crackers, you know, you can get the hell out of here right now. You stop this podcast. Don't buy the album. You're not ready. Leave right now. And let me tell you something else. When I start taking phone calls, I will not be entertaining people that are calling up looking just to debate me and defend white people. If you have a legitimate question, that's one thing, because all problems can be solved through questions and answers. That's also Nearly Fuller, by the way. But I'm not going. We're not going to waste time on self-hatred, self-hating niggas calling up looking to defend white people, looking to defend the system in which they have gotten accustomed to and gotten comfortable with. We are not going to do that. It's very clear. It's not. This is not hard to see, folks. All you have to do is open your eyes. I'm very good. I'm like the bullshit detector. I know if someone is legitimately confused and need clarification on something, or if someone is just playing around, looking to compromise the broadcast, looking to defend white folks. This is not the place for that, and you will be dismissed promptly. All right, so I thought I'd put that out there. There are several books that need to be read by all black people for a complete understanding of racism. Now, for an introduction to racism, I suggest my book, Racism is White Supremacy, which can be picked up online right now by going to peopleofthesunpublishing.com. Nellie Fuller's book, The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, a textbook / workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism, white supremacy. Yes, you are a victim. This is a book that you need to pick up for just advice on codification, how you need to be behaving. Because, folks, that's what all this is about. This is not just passing along some information so you can pretend like I'm a big smart nigger now. You know, I know something about racism. I know all these definitions and all these big words, and I can go to some cocktail party and talk like an intellectual little pet and impress people. That's not what this is about. This is about understanding the context within which you're operating so that you can adopt behaviors that can counter your mistreatment. That's why Nellie Fuller's book is so important. You need to pick that up right now. The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. And you can get that from producejustice.com. For theory on why white people behave the way they do, I have two books for you. Dr. Frances Cress Welsing's, the late, great Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, her book, The ISIS Papers, and Dr. Mirba Anaz Urugu. Dr. Frances Cress Welsing deals specifically with why is it that white people are racist? What's the underlying reason for why they are racist? And Dr. Anai goes even deeper and deals with, okay, so why is it that white people are using racism, the mechanism of racism, the tool that is racism, to control? Because white people are racist ultimately because they want to control. Racism is the excuse. So Dr. Frances Cress Welsing is exploring why is it that white people are racist? What is it that they're afraid of? But there's an underlying need. There's an excuse to control. Racism is that excuse. But why ultimately is it that white people have to control? This is, in my opinion, given what I've read thus far of Dr. Anaya's work, Rugal, this is what I am getting from her work. All right, folks, we are going to get right into it. Let us now turn our attentions to Dr. Anaz Urugu, an excellent book for understanding how Europeans, aka white people, think. This passage continues on from yesterday, explaining Europeans' need to control. Here's the passage. I will be right back in a moment. Dr. Mirba Anaya, the evaluation of the census continued. The universe presents itself naturally as cosmos, as subject to which we are linked as subjects. Ancient African cultures viewed the world so, and the early Greeks inherited this view as well. According to Havelock, Homer's success rested on the identification of the reader or listener with the subject matter of his epic. The human being of these ancient civilizations was a cosmic being and remained so for that matter in the contemporary African worldview. Plato wanted to change all that.
He was proposing a revolution in thought. This revolution was necessary in order to satisfy the European Uttamaroho. Perhaps he should have said, "Let us pretend that the universe is not subject, but object. That we are not a part of it, but separated from it. And let us do this solely for the purpose of experimentation, in order to see what implications such a conception might have." But he didn't say, "Let's pretend." Rather, he said authoritatively that in order to know, we must be dealing with objects. The way that we create objects is by totally detaching ourselves from what it is we wish to know. By eliminating or gaining control of our emotions, we can become aware of ourselves as thinking subjects, distinct from the contemplated object. Through this separation, this remoteness, this denial of cosmic relationship, we achieve objectification. That is a necessary achievement if we are to be capable of scientific cognition, to think properly about an object, to gain knowledge of, mastery over, an object. We must control it. We can only do this if we are emotionally detached from it. And we gain this emotional distance from the object by first and foremost gaining control over ourselves. That is, by placing our reason, intellect, in control of our emotions, feelings.
All right, first, some definitions. Cosmos refers to the world being an orderly, harmonious system. Subject refers to that which can be studied, investigated, and or discussed. And object refers to anything that is tangible or visible. Now, the classical European thinker, Plato, advocated the separation of oneself from the universe so that the universe is no longer subject, but mere object that can be broken up into separate parts. In the Platonic view, knowledge is only acquired by separating oneself, objectifying everything in the universe, and then gaining control over all which has been objectified. Get the notion of Europeans willingly practicing equality out of your Negro brain. They believe themselves to be special, separate from the universe and everything in it, including you, digger. See, this is how they think of you. This is ultimately what's implied from this passage out of Urugu. They are separate, and they are a people concerned with seeking knowledge, which in the European view can only be done through control. They have to control everything in the universe. We got to understand this. If we do not understand this, we will forever be oppressed. These people are not interested in equality. They are interested in dominating. I hope that's clear. They are not interested in equality. They are interested in dominating. All right. Be right back.
Well, I've heard people say, in fact, a person told me some years ago, said, Fuller, you're flying blind. You're wasting your time. The race issue cannot, the race problem cannot be solved. It can only be discussed. And so I thought about that because I take into consideration everybody's statements, and I should. And I said to myself, if the race problem can't be solved, there's no point in discussing it. I mean, just resign ourselves. But then I wouldn't have written a book on counter-racism if I didn't think this race problem could be solved and could be solved swiftly. It's just a matter of pushing the correct buttons. And I try to tell what buttons to push in the book that I have written. And I try to do it on the air. Simply by the process of what? Questions and answers. Because all problems that's made by people can be solved by people through the process of what? Questions and answers. Well, in the system of white supremacy, anything that non-white people do nowadays in 2016 that is non-constructive and has a constructive effect on the behavior and the, you might say, the welfare, the well-being of non-white people, the white supremacists are not in favor of it. Otherwise, how are you going to have white supremacy if you're going to have black people oriented, thinking about, having a vision of, working toward, doing things that are of constructive value? And this includes the third area of activity. You don't want any black entertainment to be constructive. You want it to be non-constructive. You want black people to be doing things that don't build up anything. Just everything falling down, everything deteriorated. I mean, you want black people to glorify killing each other, all right? You know, in your entertainment. I mean, you know, if you're going to have an assembly of black people somewhere to get, where they agree to all get together and whatnot, you got to have some gunfire there. You got to have some bodies dropping. You got to have people fleeing for their lives and whatnot after they come together. All right, that's what they came together for. Everybody understands when you get a bunch of black people together, it's going to be something evil that's going to happen. Otherwise, if it's not evil happening, what are we together for? That's got to be a part of black culture. I mean, hey, terrible things are going to happen. I mean, whether it's a soccer game, I mean, you know, and somewhere along the line, people are going to start punching each other out, kicking each other, shooting maybe, or something like that. Or whether it's any event, a big barbecue or something, on the black side of town. And the white supremacists sit back and say, okay, you know how they're going to act. See, get all geared up to have with the riot gear and whatnot. Because, you know, they are very destructive people. And they come together with the idea of being destructive.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they know. This is their habit. This is their culture. See? So we want to do away with that in the compensatory counter-racism.
Folks, welcome back to the show. This is your host, Cobra, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on RacismExplained.org and the BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. The next passage that will be read to you is from Dr. Amos Wilson's work, Blueprint for Black Power. This is a writing describing the intent of mass media and those who control it, white people, folks. All right, here we go. Dr. Amos Wilson.
Social institutions are the primary means by which a society defines itself, its views of and relationship to its world. This is the case whether we refer to a society's religious, family, education, scientific, economic, healthcare, political, or other social institutions. Social institutions structure and give meaning to a society's social thoughts, practices, and interactions. They regulate and socialize its members and provide the instrumental means by which the society instructs and polices itself, propagates and reinforces its dominant values, maintains and advances its dominant interests, general social power, and structures its internal and external power relations. Institutions in an oppressive society function to maintain its structural status quo. As Michael Parenti contends, most American institutions, be they hospitals, museums, universities, businesses, banks, scientific laboratories, or mass media, are owned by a relatively small number of corporate rich. When trying to understand the context and purposes of the media, this pattern of ownership takes on special significance. In the context of ethnically pluralistic America, the latter part of the next to the last sentence of Parenti's statement can be usefully translated to owned by the white American community. However, it remains true that within that community, the major institutions, and in the context of our present focus, the mass media, are owned by a relatively small number of the corporate rich. We must keep in mind that when Parenti presented these data in 1986, the ownership and control of the mass media was still diffuse compared to its narrow monopolistic ownership today. Not only has traditional electronic and print media been far more consolidated under far fewer owners since then, but the communications revolution currently underway in the forms of information superhighways and giant national and international interactive media networks are the sources of fiercely combative conflicts over their ownership and control by less than a handful of media and information processing conglomerates. The mass media and information / communications systems are the major tools for generating, maintaining, and converting individual and public opinions into social power. Power used to oppress and exploit. The corporate elite owned and controlled media function to create a climate of opinion, to shape social perception by framing the reality and information which basically shapes the formation and expression of opinions. They do this mainly through setting the issue's agenda, that is, by controlling the domain of discourse, determining what is worthy of public exposure and discussion. They choose what issues and information are to be emphasized, to be ignored or suppressed. Consequently, they create visibility and legitimacy for certain persons, groups, and opinions that thereby impose limits on public knowledge, interest, discourse, understanding, behavior, orientation, and capability. That was Dr. Amos Wilson, Blueprint for Black Power, Mass Media and Ideology Process.
So it should be no mystery as to why Donald Trump is in the White House, folks. No mystery as to why any of the candidates in 2016 were candidates. These individuals represented the interests of the dominant group, white people. The continued mistreatment of black people and all other non-white people, private property, the concept of private property, free markets, militarism, domination, control. That's what these candidates represented, all of them. Yes, even Bernie Sanders. Yes, even Bernie Sanders. Feel the burn. Feel the burn. And get the hell out of here with that crap. Even Bernie Sanders, folks. We're going to take a quick break. And when I get back, we're going to talk about, well, we're going to go over United Independent, Nearly Foolish book. We do United Independent Compensatory Code System. We're going to read a passage out of there. It's about sex. I know people get pretty excited to talk about sex. So stay tuned. You are listening to The Barbershop here on RacismExplained.org and TheBlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. Be right back.
Stop doing anything that has show-off value. Stop trying to attract attention to yourself by showing off. Because once you get everybody's attention, what are you going to do with the attention that you got? That's a logical question. Remember, I keep saying, all problems can be solved through the process of questions and answers. So you should ask yourself, why are you trying to get people's attention? And what are you going to do with the attention that you got once you get it? In other words, if I'm standing on a street corner and I say, hey, everybody look at my hairstyle. I want everybody, get out of their cars. Park them somewhere and come back and take a look. This is me. I just got a new hairstyle. I want everybody to see my hairstyle. All this stuff that you all are doing, you're wasting your time. Come and look at me. Come and do something constructive in your life. Do something that makes sense for once in your Negro lives. Come and look at me, Neely Fuller. I'm standing on this corner, and I just got a new hairstyle that nobody in the world has ever had. So you need to learn from this. You need to straighten out your lives by looking at me and my hairstyle. Now, so the people come, and they assemble by the thousands, and they look at me and my new hairstyle, or my new tattoo, or my new angle that I use when I sag my pants. I am getting people's attention.
Yes.
So the question now is, now that I have everybody's attention, what is supposed to be what? The constructive result.
Okay.
I should be able to answer that question. What?
Should, yeah.
How has this contributed to making a betterment of solving their problems for the rest of their lives?
Okay.
Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm your host, Cobra, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on RacismExplained.org and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. All right, folks, we're going to get straight to the last passage for the night. This is from Dr. Nellie Fuller's United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. Here we will be focusing on, oh, Nelly Fuller, by the way, is the gentleman that you just heard in the commercials there. Here we will be focusing on correct sexual behavior. Correct being defined as anything, any behavior slash action that counters racism, white supremacy. All right, folks, this is Nelly Fuller's United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. Be right back.
From the United Independent Compensatory Code slash System concept, sexual intercourse as pleasure in support of constructive work. This is Dr. Nelly Fuller Jr. from the United Independent Compensatory Code slash System concept. Sexual intercourse as pleasure in support of constructive work. This is on page 188. Okay. As long as white supremacy exists, do not engage in any act of sexual intercourse except for one or both of the following reasons. One, to help to provide comfort for, incentive to, and promote constructive communication between those victims of racism, non-white people, who repeatedly strive to speak and or act to resist or eliminate racism. And the second reason is for the production of offspring. Reasons slash explanations. Every person in the known universe is, at all times, directly or indirectly, either engaging in a sexual act and or the expression of a sexual act, or every person is directly or indirectly reacting to those who are so engaged. Sexual motivation is second only to racism, white supremacy, as the great and domineering motivating force by people among the people of the known universe. Therefore, as long as racism is the dominant motivating force by people among the people of the known universe, it is correct for a person to engage in sexual intercourse only if such acts directly or indirectly help to eliminate racism. All sexual intercourse that does not help to eliminate racism is incorrect. As long as white supremacy exists, it is correct for non-white persons to engage in sexual intercourse only with non-white persons and only in the manner and or for the reasons previously mentioned.
Homosexuality in and of itself is as wrong and or as right as heterosexuality. Now just stay with me on this. This is very important. Listen to what I'm saying. As victims, black people need to stop looking for excuses to argue and or fight with other black people. What people who classify themselves as homosexual need to understand is that homosexuality within the context of racism, white supremacy, has been weaponized against black people. Just as heterosexuality has. So everyone needs to understand this. How we define ourselves sexually and all of the behaviors associated with that defining. Well, that's been compromised. This is not who we are. So it's all been compromised. Homosexuality, heterosexuality, it's all been compromised because we are victims. Please understand what I'm saying. Having non-traditional and or taboo types of sex, male on male sex, female on female sex, multiple partners, swinger communities. These behaviors are not inherently destructive. I'm talking about just the sexual acts in and of themselves. They are not inherently destructive. It all depends on the context in which the sexual behaviors are practiced. If a guy couple holds each other accountable, accountable in engaging in thought, speech, and action 24 hours, 7 days out of the week that counters racism, white supremacy, it is of no significance how they choose to use their sexual organs amongst their consenting selves. No interest whatsoever. It has no relevance. Sex, in all its various forms, used as a tool to motivate. That's what Dr. Nellie Fuller Jr. was saying. The number one motivator on the planet is the motivation to be racist. And he's saying that the second is sex. So, if sex is that great of a motivator, then what I'm saying is that use it as a tool, women, black women, hint, hint, use it as a tool to motivate your men, to motivate black men to be constructive. So if you have some, you know, if you have a black man that's acting like a dumb nigga, he ain't got his shit right, and you don't give him none. Simple as that. Change your standards. Change your standards. All right. Let's not look for the big flashy car anymore. It means nothing. You sitting here throwing yourself at someone that has some European trinket. Some European trinket. That doesn't do anyone any good at all. Use sex as a tool to motivate non-white adults into permanently working against white people. Now, if we were to use sex like this, sex would be of great use. It would be constructive. It would not be what it is now, which is destructive. Sex right now, generally speaking, is destructive, again, because of the context within which we are engaging in sex. That's why. See, everything depends on context, folks. But anyway, that's all for tonight. I will be back here tomorrow. I will try to be back at 10 p.m. Not making any promises, but like I said, you can always get at me on Twitter. That is at @cobra_org. And follow me on Twitter. That way you can keep up with updates in regards to the show. Again, make anyone you know that is non-white, especially any black person, make them listen to this show. It is a must, folks. All right. Again, until next time, you all take care. This is your host, Cobra, signing out. Peace.